Amen. All right, we're going to get started back on our Sunday school this morning. We're actually going to start on the very first one today, the first dispensation, and we'll get to that in just a second. We've kind of went over the introduction and began to look at some different divisions in Scripture, and we're going to speed through some of those. If you've missing some blanks, you can come get them from me afterwards or get them from somebody else that's already filled them in the introduction stage. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're actually going to look at a couple different verses here besides 2 Timothy 2:15 as we get started. And this study that we're about to embark on is a overview of each dispensation. It's not it is detailed in the fact that we're going to cover what that dispensation covers as far as Scriptures are concerned, and the plan of salvation for each one, where it starts, where it ends, and those kind of things. But there's a lot more detail in every one of them that could be said. But we're going to try to do an overview of every one of them and go through. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. And this is our text verse for this whole study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Christ gives us here how He wants us to study, and He wants us to do it by rightly dividing the word of truth, and we do it that we won't be ashamed. There's a lot of different approaches people take to Scripture, and most of the time it's to their own hurt. They end up hurting themselves, they end up hurting the church, and their walk with Christ, they struggle with eternal security. They struggle with, am I saved or am I not saved? They struggle with what they're supposed to do as a child of God. And most of the time it can be easily fixed if we take a view of the Bible, how God lays it out. And I believe that's the dispensational view. All right. So look with me in, we're there in 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we are instructed to teach doctrine. We're instructed to study doctrine. That's what we're instructed to do. All right, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, just a couple chapters back. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, down through verse number 16. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16. These things command and what? Teach. So, as a pastor, we're supposed to command these things and teach them. It's one thing to get up and tell you, this is what you need to do. And it's another thing to get up and tell you and then back it up with Scripture, and which is the way it's supposed to be done. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In the last days, we're told, Paul tells us that there's going to come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're there now. It's not that they don't believe it. It's not that they don't see it. They're just not going to put up with it. They're not going to endure it. They're not going to endure preaching. They're not going to endure Bible teaching. They want to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They just want to hear the basic watered down stuff that's not going to hurt anybody's feelings or hurt them. Whenever we look at Scripture, it's looking right back at us. And sometimes we don't like what we see when we look in there, but because we have to deal with it. Amen. All right, so we're commanded to do what we're doing here this week and studying, and what we do every time we go into Sunday school. All right, so I'm going to breeze through the ones that we've already done, and in probably not enough time for you to write them down if you don't have them filled out. But like I said, you can go back and get those from either me or somebody else afterwards. So we looked at the definition of dispensation, the management of a household, overseer, stewardship. Dispensation is found four times in Scriptures. This is all stuff we've already covered. So, and it's also recorded in both last 2 weeks' lessons are online. All right, the head stewards over each one. There's covenants that are associated with these dispensations. Some of them are unconditional and some of them are conditional. And as we go through there, we'll look at these things that we're saying are in every one of them. We're going to look at each one for each dispensation. So we'll probably hit them again as we go through there. The plan of salvation is different for each dispensation. The way that God handled it, the way that He wanted man to do something, is different for each one. Man is without excuse. All right, then we began to make some divisions in Scripture and looked at the transitional books and looked at the 10 dispensations we covered. So there's 66 books. We looked at that. Then we made our first division, Old Testament, New Testament. And then there's different books that are laid out in Scripture. You've got the law books. You've got the history books, the poetry books, the major prophet books, the minor prophets, Gospels, church history, which is the book of Acts, church epistles or letters, the Jewish epistles or letters, and the prophecy book of Revelation. And so the doctrinal visions, Old Testament and New Testament, there's three different groups of people that God's speaking to throughout Scripture. And again, I know I'm rushing through this, but we've already covered all this. Jews, Gentile, and the church. It's important to know who's writing and who they're writing to. All right, the doctrinal divisions of past, present, and future. And I think everybody that's taken any kind of even just basic school knows there's a past, present, and future. That's a division right there. All right. In the past is from Genesis to the book of Acts. All right. And the present is Romans through Philemon, as far as your Scriptures are laid out. And the future is Hebrews through the book of Revelation. All right. And so these are the different divisions that we're going to look at. And we're going to start with this first one, the dispensation of innocency. All right? And these other ones here, just naming them off, but we're about to go through those. All right, so the dispensation of innocency is where we're going to start for our lesson today, and we'll see how far we get through here. I don't know if we'll get one per week or if we'll take a couple weeks for a few of them, but some of them are pretty simple. Does anybody need a book? I think I checked before we started. All right. If anybody needs one, we can print them out. But try to hang on to them week by week. All right, the dispensation of innocency. This is covered in Scriptures from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, through Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 22. All right, that's where it covers. This dispensation begins with the creation of man. Begins with the creation of man, and it ends with the expulsion from the garden. Okay? Now, you say, what about Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 1:27? That is a time period in itself. It's before man was created. God began to create the heaven and earth, and there's some things that happened before that, but we're not going to go into that as far as God's instruction to man. We're going to deal with starting with innocency. But I did ask my dad if he would teach on a subject that leads up to this point in Genesis 1:1 and then going into creation. But you know that God created the heaven. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was like form and void. And the Spirit of God moved and those things. But this dispensation, as far as God dispensing to a man a stewardship, begins in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. So if you would, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to begin to look at the very first dispensation, the very first time period in the Bible. And I hope you see and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Don't just take my word for it. Open your Bible and look at it and ask God to show you. I hope you see that the way that God handled things is different than they are today. And the instructions that were given were different. Now, there are some truths and there are some doctrines that were given all the way back in the first part of the book of Genesis that are still true today. And we'll look at some of those. There's some things that a child of God ought to do that were established back then that never changed. But the way of salvation, the way that things were handled, there's some things that were handled a little bit differently. So it begins with the creation of Adam. So in Genesis 1, verse 28, the Bible said, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So man was created on the sixth day, and now we find God giving instructions to a steward, which would be Adam, and He's given him instructions on what to do. All right, the covenant for this dispensation is the Adenic covenant. It was a covenant that was given in the Garden of Eden, and that's why we call it that, the Adenic covenant. And this covenant was conditional based on God's instructions in the Garden of Eden. So let's begin to look at those instructions. We just read some of them. Remember, there's covenants that are conditional based off of man's obedience. And then there's some that are unconditional. God makes promises with them that He's going to fulfill regardless of what man does. All right? This covenant was conditional and based off of God's instructions. So Adam and Eve had to do these things in order to keep their part of the agreement. Remember, a covenant is a mutual agreement between two parties. And so the first thing that they were told was to multiply and replenish the earth. That's the first instruction given right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Also in chapter 1, verse 28, He said to subdue the earth for their use. These are instructions that God gave to Adam. Also in verse 28, He told them to exercise dominion over the animal creation. He said, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And if I'm moving too fast for y'all writing down, just let me know. But these are instructions that God gave them. So this first covenant that we find with mankind involves multiply and replenish, subdue the earth, exercise dominion over the animal creation. Not only that, but this first covenant involved a vegetable diet. Look there in chapter 1, verse 29. Chapter 1, verse 29. We already read it a second ago. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. I heard Dr. Ruckman teaching on this just this past week, and he talked about before they were expelled from the garden, they got to reach up for their food. And now, because of the fall, they had to bend down to get their food. And so some things changed when they got out of the garden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we continue the agreement here, the covenant. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we did not read this one. But another instruction they had was to dress and keep the garden. Now, there wasn't a whole lot of work that had to be done because they were living in an environment where it was all suitable for growing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. So these are more of the things that God is asking man to do. All right. The next one. Again, each one of these, they're based on these covenants that God said, hey, I'm asking you to do this, and I want you to obey me, and I'm going to do this for you. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. He tells them to abstain from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we find there's things that they have to do. Multiply and replenish. Subdue the earth for their use. Exercise dominion. There's a vegetable diet. They dress and keep the garden. And he says, abstain from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, many people might say, why would God put man and Adam and Eve in an environment like that and even provide an opportunity for them to do wrong? And put a tree there that he asked him, eat of any tree you want, but do not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The answer is God's not a Calvinist. And God wants man to choose Him. Every covenant we find that God makes with the nation of Israel and all through time, it has been God asking man to choose Him. All through there we read, put away your idols, put away your other gods, and choose Me. There will be no other God before Me. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, that tree was there, and God gave man a free will because He wanted them to choose Him. He wanted them to choose Him. And so the tree of knowledge and good and evil was there. And so they were told to abstain from eating of that tree. I've given this illustration before. Many of you have heard this as I've taught through similar stuff. But it's like my wife. If I knew that she was forced to love me and to be with me and she didn't have a choice, she was just brainless and just had to do it, then it wouldn't mean near as much. If she told me, I love you, I'd say, well, you have to. Right? If she does things for me and, she's a companion and a friend and I knew that she was a robot that just had to do it, it would not mean very much at all. But the fact that she loves me and she knows me and she chooses to be with me, when she tells me I love you, it means a whole lot. There's a whole lot behind that. And so God wanted man to choose Him. And so He placed that tree of the knowledge of good and evil there in the garden. The plan of salvation for this dispensation, this time period, this first one, is faith plus negative works. There was other things they had to do that were positive. Multiply and replenish, subdue the earth, exercise dominion. But the one that got them in trouble was the negative work. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Later on, we find that God's going to tell them, listen, you have to do this. There's other works that are involved that He tells them they have to do. And those are things that they have to try to accomplish and try to do and succeed at. This one here was a negative one. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so that was the plan in this time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I'll read it again for the sake of this point. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And so this was His agreement with man. This was His covenant with man. The works were do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, man ended up disobeying, just like they do in every other dispensation. They ended up disobeying. They ate the fruit. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we might not read all those verses, but the serpent shows up. The serpent shows up in the garden. And the Bible said that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. He said, did a snake show up? I don't know if it was a snake or a man or what it was. Regardless, it was something that caught Eve's eye and she listened to him. And she began to listen to him. Now, Satan is a serpent. He's a great red dragon. You study through Scripture, that's what he is. And he could have very well showed up in that form. He could have showed up as an angel. The Bible here said that it was a serpent that showed up. And before the curse, this serpent was able to walk around. And we find that out here in just a moment as well. But the serpent shows up and he begins to question Eve. He begins to question her about what God said. Yea, hath God said. And he's been trying to do that ever since. He's still doing it today. Every time a preacher gets up and preaches, "Thus saith the Word of God, the Word of the Lord," and Satan will get in somebody's ear and say, "Did God really mean that? Is that really what he meant?" That's not what it says in the originals. Or this other Bible says this. Or this other preacher has this opinion about it. There's a big deal going on online right now because that big TV preacher, Creflo Dollar, got up and said that tithing wasn't scriptural. And now all these other preachers are getting on there saying, no, stop, it is scriptural. And they're trying to prove it. There's a big fight back and forth. They're losing their mind over it. But Satan began to say, "Yea, hath God said." And then, he got to talking to Eve and he got her to doubt, what did God really say? And we know that she ends up adding to what God said. And again, I've got a theory about that. Because she told the serpent, she said, "God told us not to eat it or touch it." Now, that's adding to the Word of God because that's not what God said. I have a theory about that. Because Eve wasn't with Adam when he got the instruction not to eat it. And I think he was just trying to err on the side of safety, and he told Eve, "Don't eat it. A matter of fact, don't touch it." So maybe that was the instruction she was given. Right? Sometimes with kids, you'll do that. The touching, it's not going to hurt anything. It's the eating that's going to hurt them. But you tell them, "Don't touch it." Why? Because if they get their hands on it, they're probably going to stick it in their mouth. We find that problem right here in Genesis chapter 3. And mankind's been dealing with it ever since. If they touch it, they've got to do something with it. And so we find Eve here talking to Satan, and he begins to mess with her mind and getting her to contemplate what it would be like to be like a God, knowing good and evil. Satan said, "God's just mean, and he doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know what he knows. He knows that if you eat that, you're going to be like a god, and you're going to know all these things. And God's just mean, and he doesn't want you to know these things." And then Eve began to think about it, and I can only imagine that maybe Satan reached up that serpent and got him a bite of it. Said, "Well, it didn't hurt me, right?" And then She takes the thing and she thinks about it, and she begins to eat that thing. And then the Bible said it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Something happened immediately to Eve. Immediately. And her body changed. Something happened. She received a bloodstream that she didn't have before. Something changed inside of her. She was perfect. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the what? It's in the blood. Before she took of that, she was never going to die. But she partook of it and something changed. Something changed inside of her. She looked at the tree. She saw that it was good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes. And she had a desire, and that tree gave her a desire to make her wise. So she took of the fruit, and she ate it. And then she gave to her husband, and he did eat also. So now Satan, right here from the very start, has caused man to disobey. But man had a choice to make. He could have obeyed God. He could have obeyed God. Man's disobedience was eating the fruit. Now, there is a lot of things as a child of God that we're told that God would like us to do and not to do. There's instructions to a child of God on how they should live and how they should conduct themselves and how they should dress and all those kind of things. But none of those are going to send you to heaven or hell. By dressing right and doing right is not going to get you to heaven in the day in which we live. Right? Adam and Eve, when they ate that day, they received a bloodstream and they began to die from that day going forward. When a person is born, they have a death date already marked on the calendar. They might not know when it is. They might not make it out of NICU. They might make it to 100 years old. I don't know. But there's a date on the calendar the day that they're born. And Adam and Eve received that death date the day that they partook of this tree. God's judgment on them was expulsion from the garden. Expulsion from the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat." By the way, this tree was there the whole time. It was there, and he never told them they couldn't eat of that one. "And live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And we find a pattern from this very first dispensation as we go through Scripture of God desiring for man to choose Him to be their God. We see that as we go through here. God ends up calling out Abraham and calling out a people amongst all these people. He chooses out one people and said, "All right, they're not going to do it. I want you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you'll be my people." And we see a theme going through there. We can't approach Genesis all the way through the Bible as a American church doctrine book. God dealt with people differently. And the idea was He wanted to be their God. And one day, those Jews that He chose out will be His people, and God will be their God. That's going to happen. God's going to write it in their heart. It's going to happen. But we see throughout Scripture how God deals with them, and that's what He desires from them. He wants them to choose Him. And so all the things that He asks of them is in that direction, that they would choose God. So God's judgment was expulsion from the garden. Now, another thing that we find in this very first dispensation is that sin now requires a payment. Sin requires a payment. All right, and my slide's locked up here. Our internet went down; it's messing up. So, sin required a payment. Adam and Eve's attempt to cover their sin was fig leaves. That was their attempt. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7. Dad, are you using your book? I'm just going to follow along to make sure that I'm covering what's on there. All right. Adam and Eve's attempt to cover their sin was fig leaves. All right. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were," what? "Naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." This right here would set a pattern for the rest of the Bible. These fig leaves would represent the Jews' religion. It would represent self-righteousness. It would represent man's attempt at covering their own sin. That's what this represents for the rest of the Bible. We see a pattern from here on out of the Jews' religion being a fig leaf that represents their way of attempting to work out their own salvation. And we see that through the rest of Scripture. Adam and Eve, before they partook of this knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they did not see themselves as naked. Why? Because they didn't know if it was right or wrong. Just like a child, and this also is a wonderful picture of the age of accountability. People say with a child, how old before they can be saved? And I've heard people put numbers on it. You can't put a number on it. I mean, there might be a four-year-old that fully understands. And then again, he might be 40 years old and never understand. He never gets there. Mentally, he might have a handicap or whatever. and he never reaches that age of accountability. You say, what happens to those people? I think they're in heaven. I really do. You say, what about babies when they die? They're in heaven. They never reach that age of accountability. We see a picture here of it. And so they're in the age of innocency. But there will come a time in a child's life when they first start out, they will streak through public places without any clothing on. A matter of fact, Ruth's baby this morning was running through the sanctuary with no clothes on. They were changing her and she got loose. I remember times at our house we'd have people over. And, Elijah would just, hey, Mommy, I need help. What do you need help with? Wiping. And you look up and he's standing there. And I don't know why kids have to take off everything, including their socks, to use the restroom, but they do. Not thinking twice about it. My girls the same way. I mean, not thinking twice about it. But then there comes a time, and it's happened to all three of my children, where I would come around the corner and walk in the bedroom, and they would scream and say, Daddy, don't look. I'm naked. And you know what? In my mind, they're giggling and they're trying to hide. Daddy, don't look, don't look. In the back of my mind, I'm amping up the prayers. I've been praying the whole time. But you know what I know? I know they're starting to reach that age of accountability. And I'm praying they get saved at a young age. And then it's amazing. They'll turn 16, 17 years old. And they'll get on TikTok and Instagram and take off all their clothes for the world again. Start off naked and they end up being naked once again. No shame anymore. Adam and Eve's attempt to cover their sin was fig leaves. God's method of covering their sin was the shedding of blood. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. God's method was the shedding of blood. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So God, when He looked at Adam and Eve, and He started calling out for them, at first they were hiding, and then they came out, and the Lord looked down and said, Adam, what are you wearing? Well, I made myself an apron. Well, what'd you do that for? I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Right? And then he begins pointing at his wife. And then she begins to point at the serpent. And they begin to blame one another. And God said, this is not going to work. And this tells me that man's attempt to cover nakedness is not enough. It's not sufficient. God said, that's not going to do. And the Bible said He made them coats of skin. You know what a coat covers? In the Bible, the coat covered the whole top and went all the way down past the knees. That's what a coat covered. And now we have this definition of God clothing somebody, and then it stays consistent all the way through Scripture, all the way up to where He tells us in Titus that we'll have modest apparel. And we see a pattern all the way through concerning that. God shed the blood. And I can only imagine that God did this with Adam and Eve watching. How else are they going to have the example of how to kill a lamb? And that He would take it and that He would slice its throat and let the blood pour out. And God would take and make these coats of skin from the lamb. He showed them that the shedding of blood was the only way to cover this sin. Now we know that no sin was ever taken away until Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. But we find God's method to cover sin was a shedding of blood. So just as the pattern for the rest of the Bible, these fig leaves and religion and man's way, we find in the very next dispensation that Cain has a way that he wants to worship God. I mean, right from the start, God said, I want sacrifices done this way. He just showed it to Adam and Eve right here. And we find in the very next dispensation, we'll cover that maybe next week, where Cain all of a sudden says, nope, I'm going to do it my way. And so we find a pattern through Scripture of that. This also sets a theme for the rest of the Bible that bloodshed would be the payment for sin. And God begins to clothe them, and He shed that blood of the innocent lamb. All right. I have got... That's the end of that one. So I'm going to stop because we have a couple minutes left. But does anybody have any questions? And I'll get the slides fixed for next week, Lord willing. Does anybody have any questions on that? That's the very first dispensation. So what we find is it covers Genesis chapter 1:28 when He begins to give instructions to man, goes to Genesis 3:22, starts with the creation of Adam, ends with the expulsion from the garden. The covenant associated with it is the Edenic covenant. And all these instructions that were given to man, man's disobedience was they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then things began to change. He would have had to have given it to him, yep. That's right. Yep. There's so much teaching throughout the Bible that we find through these, but for the sake of the study, we can't go through all of them. But, Does anybody have any questions about that? All right, Lord willing, next week we're going to look at the dispensation of conscience. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were given something that they didn't have before. And that was a conscience that was given to them from God. And we're going to look at that dispensation. So, no longer is it, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They messed that one up. Now it's something else. And God's going to tell them what to do next. Again, the goal is for them to choose God. Lord, thank You for love.